The title of my sermon is, What Do We Do When We Don't Know What to Do? In 1 Peter, we're going to start there, 1 Peter 5. So be content with who you are and don't put on airs. God's strong hand is upon you. He will promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. So God cares about us. He loves us dearly. And we don't get how much he actually loves us. And then I'm going to stay in 1 Peter. But it says, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil was poised to pounce and would like nothing more than to catch you napping. Keep your guard. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with all Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God, who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. And he gets the last word. Yes, he does. He gets the last word. So in the book of Peter, it is revealed that we're always going to undergo hardships. Despite all the modern advances in this world, we are going to have hardships. And sometimes we find ourselves wondering, what in the world am I going to do? So as Christians, we need to go to the Bible and look at scriptures and discover, what do I do when I don't know what to do? And the first thing, I put together a list, because y'all know I do these lists, right? I am not a list person in the real world. I'm a fly by the seat of my pants. You know, if God told me to get up and go, I'd go. And, you know, all those good things. But the first thing is, try to be patient. When you don't know what to do, try to be patient. It says in Hebrews 10, it says, remember the early days when you first saw the light. There were some hard times. Kicked around in public, target of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, some days it was your friends. If some of your friends went to prison, you stuck by them. If some of your enemies broke into your house, seized your goods, you let them go on with a smile, knowing that they can't touch your true treasure, your real treasure. Nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw all that away. You were sure of yourselves then, and it's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out. Stay with God's plan so that you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any time. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be happy. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no. We stay and survive, trusting all the way. So when we're trying to be patient, we have to trust that he's got this. We have to trust that all along the way, we may not know what to do, but he surely knows what to do. People who are not patient tend to make rash decisions, and they tend to make these decisions and later regret, or they're faced with disappointment. You know, people who are not patient tend to settle. They tend to settle for second best because that's what they think that they deserve sometimes. Or they think that, I've been waiting for a year and God hasn't sent me that partner. Or I've been waiting for a year on this job, but it just doesn't seem like it's panning out. That we take another job, or with somebody else, we decide that, well, nobody's better than, you know, or somebody's better than nobody. It's not true. We take these steps that we think will get us to where we need to be, but we don't rely on God because we don't want to wait on his timing. We have one life to live, one life. And honestly, I would prefer to put my life in his hands more than I would anybody else. When we trust God, we're still going to have issues. We're still going to have problems. We're going to have all these things going on. But guess what? When we put our faith in his hands and in his ability and his power, the outcome, our outlook on that problem is going to be totally different, right? So you know, when we trust his process and we have faith in his process, and everything with God is a process, when we do that, you know, we can relax and know that he's got it, and that It is his timing, and it'll all come full circle. The next thing that we need to do whenever we don't know what to do is be prayerful. Sometimes being prayerful, when you're in the midst of stuff, you just don't want to pray. And I understand that. But in Philippians 4, it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. And I know you say, I don't know what to pray. Well, I don't either. If we just praise him, it says, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Sometimes praising him is all you got to do, right? It'll put you in a better mindset, a better frame of mind. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for the good will come and settle you down. So it says in his word that once you put it in his hands, it says right here that if you give it to him, he'll come and settle you down. How easy is that? But what happens is we pray about it and we give it to him. And it's like, here you go, Jesus, you got it. And then you go on and things aren't happening like you think that they should. And that whole patience thing comes back. And then you go, I got it back. I take it back. And you put it on yourself. And you can't fix it because you're in the middle of it, right? So many people fail to pray as they should because they get so involved in their problem and they try to figure it out and they are trying to decide what to do. They don't let God direct them. So when you're in the middle of not knowing what to do, you not knowing what to do is your timing to put it in his hands, right? So when we give it to God, we can be going through hell and have a huge smile on our face. People are like, oh my God, Lorda, you're going through this problem and people know about it, but man, you seem like you're happy. You have a joy that is undeniable. But the reason she does is because she's given it to him and knows that it's all going to be okay. And Lloyd has been there. I've seen Lloyd do that on a day-in, day-out basis. The other thing that we do when we're trying to be prayerful is we get others to pray for us, but we don't pray for ourselves. You know, asking others to pray is a good thing, and that's not a bad thing at all. But pray for yourself. When you're saying, okay, Pastor Keith, will you please pray for me? And he's going to, but what if you say, please pray for me, and somebody never does? But don't put your faith in people. Put your faith in God. Pray for yourself. Now, for a Christian, prayer should be like breathing. Just as breathing is a response of the physical life to the presence of air. Now, follow me. For a Christian, prayer should be like breathing. Just as breathing is a presence of a physical life to the presence of air, so prayer should be the response of a spiritual life to the presence of God. It's essential. You stand here and you hold your breath, you're going to turn purple. And if you hold it long enough, you're going to meet Jesus. But the same thing is with prayer. If you don't pray about anything, your spiritual life is going to start turning purple and it's going to die. It will die. But we have to first ask God, you know, what do you need? Ask him. You are in turmoil, you're in whatever it is you're in, ask him. Tell him you need help. That's my daily prayer. Lord, I need some help. But he responds. You know, I think about asking God for stuff or not asking God for stuff. And when I was writing this, I thought about a kid at Christmas. And you know, at Christmas time, you're like, well, what is Santa going to bring you? What have you asked Santa for? There is not a kid in the world, and they don't say anything. You may be expecting a dollhouse, and you get a bunch of G.I. Joes if you do that. You know what I'm saying? So you need to tell God what you need, what you want. Now, he knows, But he needs you to verbalize it. Prayer is action on our part. It's action. When we step out in that action, I just see Jesus saying, Keith asked me for something. I got it. Because he's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And there's nothing that we ask him that he's just going to not hear. Now, we may feel like he doesn't hear. And that's another thing we need to do is listen. We need to just shut up, stop, be quiet, and listen. But it goes back to that patience thing that we want it so quickly, right? I want things quickly. I used to be a lot worse. I'm a lot better. But when you have that mentality, when you're dealing with God, sometimes we just think, oh my God, he has disappointed me again. You know what? Maybe you're not supposed to take that job. Maybe you're not supposed to go out on a date with that person. So maybe he's saying, you know what? Just hold your horses, girl, and just wait on me. Let me work something out. Maybe you could get higher pay. Maybe you could get better benefits. You never know when things are going to change, but God does. And then if he tells you something and you give it to him and you say, okay, I'm giving it to you, obey what he says do. What's the purpose in asking, waiting, and then not obeying? Just because it's not in our mind frame of what we think it is or how it should be, God is saying, you know what? Move, girl. If he says, let something go, let it go. Because guess what? He's got something better. And then wait on his timing. Because he has your best interest at heart. He loves you better than you love yourself. He loves you better than anybody could ever love you. So why wouldn't he have our best interest at heart? When we don't know what to do, pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, pray. Do you have a daily prayer life? I pray in traffic all the time and I don't kill somebody. And it's worse now. So I'm prayed up. I mean, in those times that you're driving and you're sitting in traffic and it's frustrating, it takes me 2 hours to get to work in the mornings now, and it takes me 2.5-3 hours to get home. We're moving soon. No, I'm just kidding. And First Thessalonians, be cheerful no matter what. Pray at all times. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way that God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus to live. So we live under Christ, and we should talk to him. We should pray for our fellow people, you know, pray for our issues, pray for whatever it is. Pray, just pray. Pray for that guy that cuts you off and you want to cut him. Pray for him. Not after you cut him. Pray for him before you cut him. Third thing, try to be positive. It is very, very hard to do. But in Philippians 4, it says, summing it all up, friends, I say that you'll do best by filling your minds by meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into the most excellent harmonies. So when we are praying, and when we're positive, and when we're patient with God and ourselves sometimes, it says that we're going to be in harmony. Our life is going to be in harmony. What a beautiful thing. You know, you got harmony, drama. Harmony, drama. Some people love being in drama. They don't want to be in harmony. And y'all looking at me crazy, but y'all know that's true. Some of us in the church love to be in drama. We counsel them day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. Right? But if we put in junk, we're going to put out junk. Correct? Not knowing what to do sometimes brings self-pity and discouragement. Oh, Lord, I got the worst job in the world. My boss is blah, blah, blah. Or I got the worst drive to work. I could be very self-pity and just decide I won't go to work. But self-pity brings discouragement. We need to keep an optimistic outlook and believe that he is on the throne and that he has got us in his hands and that the problems that we're going through, that he's got control of. But God ain't going to bless no mess. He's not. But positive thinking produces faith, and it produces confidence. Confidence in ourselves, confidence in God and his ability. And through his ability, we have supernatural ability, but we don't realize that because we're so stuck in our problem, and we would rather be pessimistic about it than optimistic. And then we wonder, oh my God, why am I not growing? Why am I not being blessed? Why am I not this and why am I not that? Well, because you have stinking thinking. Basically, what you think you are, you are. What you say you are, you are. In 1 John 4, it says, my dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won the victory over the false teachers, for the spirit in you is far stronger than anything in the world. You are a child of the Most High God. You have the victory. Right? Stop living in chains when we have been set free. God said that to me a very long time ago. I was in self-pity. I was in self-doubt. I was in denial about a lot of things, about who I was and where I was in life. And he said, you know what? Stop living in chains when I have set you free. And you know what? I thought, he's right. But then he took it a step further. I had a dream, and I was literally in chains. And those chains fell off, but I still stayed sitting. And when I got up, that's when I realized, you know what? I have been living in these chains. And I've been walking with these chains, and I've been sitting with these chains, and I've been making decisions with these chains. I've been working with these chains. I have become my chains. And that's not who God called me to be. The Holy Spirit is greater than Satan. The Holy Spirit is greater than your problems. With the Holy Spirit and his guidance and his discernment and direction, you can make it through anything, through any obstacle in life. But you got to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing and the final thing is try to be productive. Don't just sit around. You've asked God for something. Don't wait for it to happen. You know, it's like in order to get a job, you got to fill out a job application. I mean, it's not going to miraculously appear. We have to be productive while we're waiting. But that's hard because we don't have patience and we don't pray and we ain't positive. So why should I do anything? But pray, be productive. Pray for people. Get out and feed people. Life is bigger than just you. Don't tell anybody I said this because Jenny's not here and Josh's not here, but I tell Josh all that all the time. Life is bigger than just you. It's not just about you. But then I go and I look in the mirror And I'm feeling the same way he is. And I have to say to myself, life is bigger than you. In 1 John 3, it says, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to do. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we know about ourselves. There's work to do. We love people. We need to love people. Love people. When you don't know what to do, just love people. You know, if somebody needs a hug, give them a hug. If somebody needs an encouraging word, step out of yourself and try to be positive and give them an encouraging word. Do you know that God blesses servanthood? I've been told all my life that I have a servant's heart. I didn't know what that was. I mean, you do, but you really don't. But there's times when I'm more productive for other people than I am myself. And it's that servant's heart. But guess what? God always, always fills that emptiness that I'm feeling because I'm giving so much of myself. And that's a part of who he is. So don't be afraid if you give things away that you're going to feel empty or deprived or lonely or whatever it is the devil's telling you it is. He's going to make up that. And he's going to give you exactly what you need because you're giving out. And while we're looking for direction and the meaning of life and our purpose, and we're doing something and we're working, even though it's not what we want to do, while you're doing that, you might just find your purpose. You might just find exactly where you want to be because that's where God wants you to be. It's like you may close your eyes and see yourself talking before 100,000 people, but then you're scared to talk in front of two. So maybe talking in front of two will propel you into talking in front of 100,000 people. So when you don't know what to do, be productive. A spiritual life and walking with Christ is something that is a day-to-day thing, and it takes action on our part. It takes day-to-day action. It takes prayer. It takes patience, not just in God or when it comes to doing what we need to do, but in ourselves. And if you forget to pray one day, good Lord, don't beat yourself up. It's all about having a relationship with God and with Christ. But don't show up to life every single day without asking God for direction, without asking the Holy Spirit for discernment. I don't want to face a day knowing that I have to do it alone because I screw up. I can be an idiot sometimes. If God has a bridle on my mouth and I've got his love in my heart, when I pray and activate that, something happens. I'm a better person. I treat people better. I don't lash out. He does keep me from that. But you're a better person when you take those steps to walk in God's purpose for your life and walk in what he's called you to do and walk when you're, you know, facing your day-to-day life, when you're talking with people or when you walk through the doors of where you work or walk through the gym or whatever it is. When we give him our whole self, we become whole. When we give him our whole heart, our heart becomes whole. And a whole person can love people like nobody's business. I love people when I don't like them. Pastor Keith loves people when he just wants to wring their neck. But that's the way God is. He loves you dearly, even though he wants to wring your neck. So if he can do that, my goodness, I sure can do that. Now, I'm not going to let anybody step all over me. But guess who does let people step all over him? God. He lets you trample on him all the time, but guess what? He still loves you. And he still cares for you. And he still has your best interest at heart. And he will work things. When you take action and you step out in faith and you step out in action and you start doing stuff, guess what? He will start making ways, making paths, making things work in your favor, doing things that you just never knew would open up. My job now is because of things that I did when I was there previously with a totally another company. I was contracted. But when the job that I have now came open, a lady there called me and she said, this job is open. I'm just telling you, if you want to apply, apply. God opened those doors because they had an interim director there that had already expressed interest in that job. But something else opened up for him somewhere else and he took it, which left it open. Now, some may say, well, that's not God. But you have no idea that I've gone through in other jobs that I've had waiting for this opportunity. Honestly, I'm not the most qualified that has that job. Am I the best person? Yes. But if you look at qualifications on paper, there were a lot more experienced. There were a lot more levels of education there. But I got it. And it's because I prayed for it. I wasn't idle in that time that I was waiting for it. I had patience. I was positive about it most days. I'm here. I'm here now. And I don't say all that to say, ooh, yay me. But it's a God thing. And when you realize that it's a God thing, then you know that it's something special. And so whatever it is that you are wanting or you are needing, step out in action. Step out in faith. Don't be idle. Work toward it. I mean, you're not going to expect a master's degree in 8 years, 6 years, whatever you want to put toward it. And just on one day, it's like, oh, it's graduation day. But you ain't been to school. The thing is you got to pray. You got to have that action. You got to step out and do something. And God will reward that. He will. Every single time. Every time. Who believes me? If you believe me, believe him. Amen. Believe him. Because he is the one who's going to do these things. You can't do it in your own power. Now, I went to school and I did all those things. I did the things I needed to do, but he opened the doors for me to do what I do. But just think about that. You worked for recovery. You just didn't wake up one day and say, I'm done. And I'm well, and I'm better, and I'm good, and I'm whole. You work toward it, and you do it day after day after day. It's something you walk through every single day. And that's what you have to do. But it takes God walking and helping and you praying. It's not something that he shows up every day for life and says, I'm clean, and it's easy. You know that walk. It's not something you do. So why should we may not have been a drug addict. We may not have been an alcoholic. There's a lot of things we may have never been. But why show up for life unarmed? Because every single day is a battle. It really, really is. Whether it's a physical battle or a spiritual battle, it's a battle. Show up armed. Pray, pray, pray. And he is eager and he's willing and he's open and he will step out and he will step in the middle and make it better. And if anything else, you'll have some peace. You'll have a little bit of peace. Because you go through this week and you're faced with something, pray about it before you make a quick reaction. If you're going through this week and it's all fantastic and beautiful, pray anyway. Be productive. And you may not think prayer is productive, but hello, it's one of the most important things that you can do.